Yeah, spot on. And some of the other things that kind of have a perfect fit with a lot of different people is like nutrition. I mean, I watched your video on broccoli. It was pretty amazing. And that one went viral just like most of your videos. But like tomatoes, right? Discussion on hospice. That one when you talked about like order of if somebody is deciding on, in terms of who's their power of attorney. I mean, those things are like practical, but it also affects so many people. What are your thoughts about those videos about the broccoli, tomato, medical powers of attorney, and some of these other things that you went ultra viral on?
So the nutrition videos are very tricky, right? Because we as oncologists, we like strong data. We like, hey, we had 1,000 patients and we had 300 in group A, 300 in group B, 300 in group C, and we had this control group and we were able to adjust for all the confounding variables. And a lot of the nutritional studies, and maybe this is partially our fault as a medical field where we don't really get exposed to nutritional studies as much, but a lot of the nutritional studies are not done in the most regulated manner that a chemotherapy or immunotherapy or targeted therapy trial gets done. So when you talk about things like tomatoes in some studies showing that they can reduce your chance of prostate cancer, that was probably one of my best performing videos, quite honestly. And it's practical. It's practical. I can go home and eat a tomato. I can go home and start making more tomato sauce or whatever it is. And so the challenge is you want to be super focused on true data, but then you want people to have prevention in their life as well. So we as an oncology community have to come together and say, what is the level of evidence that we're okay with for nutrition to be talked about as a preventative measure, right? What is the level of evidence that I can have to say tomatoes can truly prevent prostate cancer? Because if you saw the comments on that video, sure, it got 4 million views, but the comments were pretty good in terms of debating. People were like, oh, this video is terrible because how can you actually study tomatoes? And other people were like, well, I've already been eating tomatoes and now there's some peace of mind that at least it's anti-cancer with some properties. So that those videos that generate a lot of debate usually do well for that reason. So with nutritional videos, again, you might not have the highest class of evidence, but that's why they do so well is because people can look in their fridge and say, oh, I have broccoli. Like, hey, maybe I'll start eating more broccoli. Someone else will say, no, this is stupid. I know that broccoli is bad for X, Y, and Z disease, and it gets the conversation going. But that's the nutrition side of things. Again, if you're talking about the durable power of attorney, or however that's said, whatever state you're in. Again, practical advice, because now I have to go home and speak to my mom. Mom, who is the person that makes a medical decision for you? Dad, who is the person? You talk to your wife, you talk to whoever it is, right? So those videos are action points. I can actually go home or go to the supermarket and try to take the next step from that video versus if I talk about CAR T and you don't have a disease that needs CAR T, you just swipe on to the next thing.
Right, and you did a great job on the CAR T video as well. I think you do a wonderful job. Now, I helped out with most of the leading medical education companies for oncology, and I feel like when things are done a certain way, things are stay that way. But you seem like an innovator to me, a creator. Like, what are some things like you've seen the various education videos, whether it be various companies? What are some things that you would like to see as somebody that has this creative and innovative mind?
I hate to say it because maybe it's a bit cliche, but AI is going to just change everything. And I keep thinking about things like when we would study for exams back in medical school or your board exams, and when you had to look something up, you would 80% of the time, let's say, I don't know if you'd agree, you'd find the answer you needed on Google
Yeah.
or the books that you were reading. But nowadays, with different medical AI companies that are available, you can really, really get to an answer quick. And by
Sure.
the way, you can get even quicker, right, in the next year or two, just depending on how they keep changing the code. So when it comes to actual medical education and just in our daily workflow as oncologists, being able to have a source that I could quickly refer to that can quickly give me an answer that's reliable from sources that are reputable. That I think is the real revolution. Everything else doesn't matter. Everything else, whether it's traditionally the way that we used to look up information, when things become quicker, you're always going to side with that thing, whatever it is, right? when cars become available, people don't take the bikes that they used to wherever they're going. So I think when it comes to the space of medical education, that if I were a betting man, that's where I would put 99% of my effort.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think, it's the question, like you said, going back and forth with specific questions that you might have. And I think as trained oncologists like ourselves, when we go on these kind of like maybe UpToDate or some of these websites and you look up information, it's like this person with pneumonia with ground glass pattern with interstitial lung pattern, right? What are the antibiotics as opposed to what are the symptoms of pneumonia? So it's like we've asked a focused question on, based on our background, and you get a specific answer. So I can see it going that direction. I think the other thing is maybe short form video. Like you're doing a wonderful job. It's you have to constrain that. Like some of these medical education videos, like 15, 20, 30 minutes. Make it maybe 2 minutes or 3 minutes, like what you're doing there, and that way more people can digest that information. Hey, I really enjoyed our talk, Paul. Any lasting thoughts about any advice for the oncologist about social media?
If you have it and you do it, people need to hear what we see on a day-to-day. People need to be inspired too. Again, oncology has a reputation, not just in the general public, but even within our medical colleagues. The first thing that people say when they hear I'm a cancer doctor is, oh, that must be so tough. And that, I don't know. I don't know if it's so tough. I think the way with things are changing, that the things that are coming out, the new technologies, the new treatments, there's a lot of hope in this field. So if you have that sort of passion in you to just let people know that there really is some optimism in the oncology space, start making content. It'll sound terrible in the beginning. Anything you try in the beginning is always bad, but you'll be surprised how quickly you can reform your voice and just start to sound, like you know what you're doing in that sense. And again, you're providing a service, right? If a colonoscopy video gets 2.6 million views, those are essentially, who knows, hundreds of people that could have gotten early screening that prevented a much more disastrous picture with stage four colon cancer. So do it. Do it. Absolutely do it. And again, it's not as hard as you think. You're a doctor. Trust me. That was a lot harder to do becoming a physician than figuring out how algorithms work on different social media websites.
Yeah, I love that. So much about life is not just what happens to us, what we say to other people, but how we react to it. For instance, like if we have a patient in front of us that is diagnosed with stage four prostate cancer, metastatic hormone sensitive, maybe life expectancy years, maybe 5, 6, 7 years, and yet once they hear that word cancer, it kind of
Right.
sinks in. You build a relationship. And then all of a sudden, it kind of crystallizes in that person, like, what's important to me, right? Is it working all these hours? Is it chasing my passion? Is it spending more time with family? So I think a lot of my patients, I learn from them, they inspire me. It really kind of separates what's really real and what's not real, right? It just kind of shows you that we're all in a moment that can be taken away. So it just lets us live our moment and enjoy our life. So I agree. I think the key here is oncology is very inspirational because our patients, they go through this process and it's a privilege to hold their hand and help them throughout the journey. So Paul, I love that discussion today. We'll be looking forward to you. So it's Dr. Discover on Instagram and TikTok. And any other channels that we should be aware of?
Yeah, YouTube, and I'm also on LinkedIn. And so, yep, that just find me, and I'm always happy to connect whoever wants to connect with. I again, one of the main reasons I got into this was to expand my network, so please reach out.